Om Gyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shachiputramatra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupuring Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Vana Yayvasvadyo Yedad Bhuta Madhuri Ma Kidrisho Vama Diha So Kyung Chasya Madanu Bhavata Kidrisham Veti Lobhat Tad Bhavardha Samajani Shachi Garbha Sindho Harinduhu Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Two days ago, I spoke on the name Kamaha, who destroys desire. So I want to speak a little bit more about that now. Kamaha, this could also be a name for Lord Shiva, because he literally killed Kama. Kama in this sense meaning Kamadev, the person, Kama. Killed means, there's no death for the soul. Kama continues as Ananga. His body was killed and he has no body, which makes him more dangerous. So, that name's also for Lord Shiva, but Shiva killed Kama out of his anger, and Krishna kills Kama, just subdues him by being so much, being the real Kama. Aprakrita Madan is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He is the transcendental Cupid. Cupid is the English word. There's Kandarpa, there's names for Kamadev, Madan, Ananga. And Kandarpa is another name. So Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. Krishna is so beautiful that he is he's more attractive than millions of Cupids. One name of Cupid is Manmata. He churns the mind. Makes you go crazy. Then Madan. Krishna is Madan Mohan. He bewilders, he puts into illusion Madan, who puts others into illusion. Then Manmata is a name of Cupid, and then Krishna's name is Manmata. He churns the mind of he who churns the mind of others. This Naranarayan Rishi performing austerities, Indra sent in the army, Kamadev with all the beautiful girls. This is the female army. Now it's they send them to war, but they're already more powerful. As Srila Prabhupada noted, that this Caesar, he could conquer. He was conquering great countries in charge of so many armies, so powerful. And Cleopatra, with a little movement of her eyebrows, can control Caesar. This is the power of Kama. So, Kamadev came with spring personified and all the apsaras to attack Naranara and Rishi. So they saw, oh, beautiful girls. You like beautiful girls? Okay, here's, and that out of his own potency, Narayan Rishi created so many beautiful girls, all far more beautiful than those who Indra had sent. So he in this way he showed that he cannot be conquered by any mundane desire. That's stated in the Bhagavatam also, after describing his pastimes in Dwaraka with the queens, that they were coquettish, means flirtatious with him, but they couldn't move him because he is Atmanista. He's situated in himself. He's not materially, he's not subjected to material desires. This is to be discussed more in the upcoming verses. That all opposites exist in Krishna. He's beyond all desire, and he's the source of all desire. And himself is the most desirous person. Only he can desire Radha. She's too great for anyone else to even begin to appreciate or accommodate. So, and going on to the next name then, 296. Kamakrit. Krishna destroys desires, he also makes desires. Kamakrit means he makes desires, or he creates that which is desirable. He fulfills desires. So what's going on here? Krishna's playing with us, he gives us all these desires, and then we're tortured by them, and then he releases us from... No, desire is the very nature of the living being. And Krishna himself is full of desire. Without that, without desire, we would simply be like some kind of robot. Life without desire is not life at all. Even in the very low stages of consciousness, the plant also desires. Therefore we see the plant will grow toward the sunlight. The struggle for existence, as the evolutionists say, the amoeba at that level of life, they're also acting for their self-interest in terms of their body. So where does this desire come from? This is my question to these materialists who say that, well, life is just a combination of matter. But where does where, at which point in the evolution of matter, does the desire come to maintain a body in a certain form, a struggle for existence? Okay, take any living being, it avoids death. Why? If it's only matter, where is that desire? Where does that desire come from? What is that desire? Can you chemically analyze it? Why should a collection of chemicals desire to stay in a certain formation? This table here, if someone's good at karate, they can just chop it in half with the side of their hand. The table expresses no opposition to that, or distress upon being converted into two pieces. But even a little ant is certainly opposes any attempt to obstruct its path, and it runs away in fear if someone tries to kill it. Well, why? If the living being is only a combination of chemicals, and where does desire come from? Why should a certain combination of chemicals in a certain form desire to stay in that form or to reproduce? It's not explainable in mundane terms. Therefore, we understand that There is a different kind of energy altogether than that of matter. Bhumirapa nalovayo kang mano buddhirevacha ahankara itiyang me bhinna prakriti ashtadha. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that there are eight material elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And aparayam itas twanyang prakriting vidhi me param jiva bhutang mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. There's another energy which is superior to material energy. That is the jiva bhuta, all the jivas. And it's because of the jivas that the jagat is the jagat. Jagat. Gacchatiti jagat. That which moves is the jagat. What makes the world move? What makes everything move? You can say this scientific law, this energy, that energy. Ultimately, it's the energy of desire. Desire makes everything move. Everything's going on. Maya jakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagadvi parivartate. Everything goes under the direction of Krishna, but he facilitates the desire of the living beings. So, Krishna himself is full of desire. Does that mean he's controlled by a higher entity? Well, philosophically, no. Practically, yes. Philosophically, Krishna is the supreme. But practically, he puts himself under the control of his devotees. But there is no higher principle than Krishna. Mataparataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananja. There's no higher principle than Krishna. But he voluntarily submits himself to the love of his devotees. So desire is the highest. In Gita, Krishna says, Indriyani prani ahur, indriyebhya parang manaha, manasastu parabhuta, yo buddhe paratastu saha. Krishna says that there are the senses, superior to the senses is the mind. Superior to the mind is the intelligence, and superior to the intelligence is saha, he or it. So, this can be, what does this refer to, this he or it? Srila Prabhupada, in consonance with some other acharyas, translates this as, the Atma is superior to the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. Sripad Ramanuja Acharya, he says that saha means here kama. Desire is stronger than the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. That's contextual to the discussion. So there's more powerful. More powerful than our mind and senses, mind and intelligence, desire. It's very, very powerful. This point to be understood. Desire is not our problem. Impersonalists and the voidists, voidists means Buddhists and Jains, they say, well, desire is the problem, stop all problems by stopping all desires. But the Vaishnava understanding is that desire in itself is not the problem, it's misconstrued desire. The desire to satisfy oneself, identifying oneself as the body, mind, and senses, as an entity intrinsically independent and different to Krishna, that is the cause of all our problems. But the desire to serve Krishna, that desire is the crux of all auspiciousness. So desire in itself is the phenomenon of desire is in itself neither good nor bad, but it's how we direct it. So Karmakrit, Krishna is Karmakrit. He fulfills. Do you have a desire? Krishna fulfills it. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahanam Yo Vidatati Kaman. They're unlimited living beings. They're all eternal. There's one among them who fulfills the desires of others. That's Krishna. Krishna fulfills desires. He may not fulfill it exactly in the way that we desire, because for instance, someone may think, I want to be God. Well, that's ontologically impossible, but one can have the illusion of being God. And that's what the demon thinks. Ishvaroham, I'm God. He thinks like that, but he's not. That example I gave many times, so many people, they want to be a big leader and recognized by others. Political leader, or some kind of leader. But the very nature of this world is that there's very limited room at the top. Everyone wants to be at the top. But that's just the way things are. That if you make everyone, you have the idea, well, everyone will be supreme. Well, there's meaning, it's meaningless, because someone has to be subordinate if anyone's going to be the leader of them. So someone may have a strong desire to be a leader, but he doesn't have the punya, the pious activities to make him a leader of man, neither a president of the country, nor prime minister of the country, nor chief minister of a state, nor any minister of the state, nor the mayor of a city, nor even the panchayat of a village. So he may in the next life get the opportunity to be born as a dog, and among a group of dogs running around the village, he's the leader. So Krishna fulfills all desires. But it might not be exactly in the way that you want it. You like to eat meat? Then you become a tiger. Next life you can become a tiger. But as Srila Prabhupada explained, the tiger, it's not that he goes to the shop and says, okay, I'll take 2 kilos of mutton and this and that. It's not so easy for him. He has to catch the animal and kill it. But they're also impelled by the super soul. They have their defense mechanism. They have little birds who sound the signal for them. They all run away. It's not so easy that the tiger can say, oh, lunchtime, okay, let's go and catch an animal. They may go for many days hungry. Then they can eat. But with no spices or onions, just raw. No special recipes. So Krishna fulfills desires. You like to go naked? Well, that's popular. Actually, I was just thinking yesterday, I saw the little boy in the house with all the little boy, 3 years old, with all jeans and t-shirt. I thought that just one generation ago, the little children, they used to run around naked. And then you didn't have to bother buying clothes for them till they were about 8 years old. Was that in your village when you were young? Although they had already started giving clothes. Already they started giving clothes. Although throughout much of India, it used to be, maybe in Nepal or something like that in the winter, then they have to wear some clothes. But otherwise, most of the year, there's no need for any clothes. They just run around naked and no one cares. But now they want to increase the business. So now they have children, 2 years old, 3 years old, wearing jeans. But then they only have one or two children, so when the jeans are finished, what will they do with it? It used to be that they have so many children, so if the children, as they grow older, they get, from the age of 8, they start to get clothes. And so the first child, okay, make some, I don't know, salwar kameez. Actually, the little girls, they didn't wear that. They wore some skirt. also, here in South India at least. I've seen these things. The last gasp of Indian culture, I got to see it. You keep that, and the girl will, within 1 year, she'll grow too big for that. But then 2 years later, there'll be a sister who can wear it like this. So nothing's wasted. When the cloth gets old and it's all torn, then you make it into a kanta. That's mentioned in the Shad Goswami Ashtakam. Bhutva dina ganesha ko karune a kupina kanta ashrito. Kanta means you make a quilt out of all the old cloth. It's not wasted. It's a common thing. Or it can be used for sweeping the floor. Or, well, they didn't used to have these bought from the shop, these things that the women used for their once a month thing. So old cloths would also suffice for that. So Krishna fulfills all desires. You may think, oh, that's great. Let me worship Krishna. But he's also Kamaha. So how is he going to deal with you? Jayamai kare ash, tarai kari sarvanash. In Bengali, it's who desires me, I destroy. I destroy them. Means it, that's an adaptation of, I often used to get asked this in Bengal, what does that mean? Because this is an adaptation of Yasyahama hungrihnami harishe taddanang janai. Harishe taddanang shanai. What's the next line? Sojana dukha dukitam. That's the fourth line. Anyway, who I give my mercy to, Krishna says, I take away all their money gradually. Then all their relatives become upset. They don't love them anymore. We loved our father as long as he was giving the money. Now he's not giving money. Useless fellow. So Krishna fulfills desire. He may destroy desire also. It depends. For the materialists, it is he who is fulfilling the desire. They may think, I'm doing by myself, but that is foolishness. That is ahankar, ahankar avimurha ma kartaham iti manyate. They think, I'm doing everything by myself. No, it's only Krishna, he gives you the opportunity, that's all. Also, people say, why Krishna? We can worship this demigod, that demigod, but yepi anya devata bhakta yajante shadhayanvita tepi mam eva kaunteya yajantya vidhi purvakam. Whatever is given by different demigods is actually given by Krishna. That the worship of demigods is actually meant for Krishna. It's an improper way of worshipping Krishna by going through the demigods. So Krishna fulfills desires. So it's very important to understand what we should desire. Generally, this is the nature of Maya. We think that if I desire such and such a thing, that will make me happy. But it doesn't make us happy. We desire, I will be very rich. We may be fulfilled, but we don't become happy. We may desire, this is quite common in the modern age because the arranged marriage system has broken down. So, boy desires a girl desires the boy, and they think, oh, it'll be so wonderful. And then within 6 months they're divorced. Because what they were completely convinced that this, if I marry this boy or this girl, and that's it, then that I'll be so happy, everything we want. But they find it's not like that at all. That is the nature of Maya. So we should not be misled by desire. By mundane desire, by the power of Maya, we think this will make me happy. I'm completely sure. And any reason that you try to speak to people when they're fallen in love, it's called fallen in love. It's a good adjective. Fallen in love. It's really their intelligence level goes down from slightly above zero to well below zero. So you can tell them, well, actually, she's 23 years older than you, and she already has two grandchildren, and you may give so many reasons, and she already had six husbands, and she doesn't seem to be that good, actually. And she doesn't have any, someone may marry for money, but and she doesn't have any money either. And no, but I love her, and she loves me. It's good for our Krishna consciousness. That's one we often hear. My soul partner, S-O-U-L, but then we find out that you're not the S-O-L-E partner. She has on the side several other partners. Okay, this is sexist here. I shouldn't speak against the woman. Okay, so then maybe the man's bad. All right, I have to put that in, otherwise I'll get prosecuted for sexism. So, desire is very dangerous. It misleads us. Practically, we can say that the whole mission of human life is fulfilled if we can understand one thing, and that is what to desire. The misled transcendentalists, they think to stop desire. That's not possible, because even if you think I have to stop desire, then you desire to stop desire. You're caught. It's like saying, never say the word never. Just to say it, you already said it twice. So what to learn what to desire. And then we have to understand what is our ontological position, our constitutional position. Jivesvarup hoy Krishna nitya das. We are eternal servants of Krishna. We should desire to serve Krishna. And if we pray for that, Krishna will fulfill. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dasher Anudas Shiva Abhilasha Magi Narottam Das. Narottam Das, identifying himself as the servant of the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. He simply desires service. So this desire for service, that is our actual self-interest. And Krishna will fulfill it. And if we desire not to serve him, he'll also fulfill that. He destroys desire. If we desire not to serve him, then we'll forget by his maya potency. That desire, Krishna Bahimokoya Bhogavancha Kare, Nikatasta Maya Tare Japartiya Dhare. When we become inimical to Krishna, we desire to enjoy ourselves separately from Krishna, then Maya is just waiting to catch us. And she does. So we get reprogrammed. We have a hard disk failure and we get reprogrammed with full of viruses, so nothing goes right. CPU failure, more like. So, Krishna, he also provides those desirable. We desire separately from Krishna. Krishna gives us the whole material world full of so many things that we can desire. So many things. How many things can you desire? You can just look out. Oh, just even the cities are made for exacerbating desire. But even if we look out here, we can see, oh, there's a nice coconuts. I could enjoy drinking coconut, or I can enjoy coconut laddu. There's a field, and the boys come out from the city and do their drinking there. I could go and join them. With a little imagination, even a place where there seems there's no possibility of any enjoyment, you can think how to enjoy it. That example is given of the forest. Different people, they will see a forest. The transcendentalist will think it is a very good place for meditation. The hunter will think this is a good place for hunting. The businessman will think, I could purchase this and purchase the forest and then cut down all the trees and make a profit on that and then make a housing estate and make lots of money. The environmentalist thinks, oh, we have to preserve this forest before the businessman buys it all up. So different people, they see. Then there'll be the naturalist, will start looking at all the different flora and fauna. So the same thing, according to our desire, our goal of life, we perceive everything in a different way. That example is given, another example given by Chanakya, that the same object is seen by different people in different ways. What the dog sees as desirable flesh, what the transcendentalist sees as something of no consequence, the ordinary man sees as a beautiful woman. So, according to our desire, we see differently. Krishna gives that. You want to enjoy? Okay, you enjoy it. So many ways. In one life you can enjoy as a tree-cutting businessman. In another life you can enjoy the sense of being, and I'm an environmentalist, I'm saving the world. Different desires are all different permutations and combinations of desire Krishna gives. You want to enjoy separately from me? Okay, give it a try. How many tries do you want? Here's 8,400,000 to start off with, and there are plenty more. 8,400,000 forms, and within those forms you can enjoy in different ways. Especially in the human life, it affords multiple options of how to enjoy separately from Krishna. All these things are invented. Environmentalism, sports, travel, see the world, tourism, different intellectual pursuits, scientific pursuits, so many different ways. Maya can inspire our desires. Actually, those desires are inspired by Krishna. So Krishna gives desire. You want to forget Krishna? All right, there's so many desires. And then if we only desire Krishna, then Krishna will take away all those desires and give us the taste of his lotus feet. So Krishna, he is karma krit, which is almost synonymous with karma prada, karmada. That will come up, a few more names. Karma prada. Karma krit means one who fulfills desires, and it can also mean one who makes desires. So in that sense, it's practically synonymous with karma prada or karmada. That name karmada comes in Bhagavatam. The gopis call Krishna kanta karmadam, who is the giver of desire. And that's the next name is coming up, is kanta. So we can discuss that tomorrow. We desire to discuss that tomorrow, and let's see if Krishna fulfills that desire. Any question about this? Very good, very good. Yeah, the definition of the topmost form of bhakti is given by Rupa Goswami. The first term he gives is anya abhilasha shunya. Anya abhilashita shunya, not anya abhilasha shunya. So the cultivation, the absence of cultivation of desires other than for devotional service is the first symptom of pure devotional service. We can have material desire to the extent we maintain our existence. That desire can be called material in as much as it's connected with this world. But if the aim is to serve Krishna, then it's not material. That comes up in that verse we discussed yesterday. Prapancha kataya bhudya hari sambandhi vastuni. Mumukshubi parityago vairagyam phalgu katyate. Seeing the objects of this world as being wholly mundane and not seeing their relationship with Krishna and then wanting to give them up for the sake of becoming liberated, that kind of renunciation is insubstantial. So it's not really material. If one desires to maintain the body in good health so that through the medium of the body we can serve Krishna, that is not a mundane desire. But then if we become too much into it, that we spend 18 hours a day just doing exercising, massage, and then there's no time to chant Hare Krishna. It's like the story of the man who was told by his guru to read Bhagavad Gita, so he went to the cave to read Bhagavad Gita so he wouldn't be disturbed. But then when he'd go out for begging in the nearby village, the rat would come and chew his Bhagavad Gita, so that he got a cat to protect from the rat. Then the cat needed some food, so he got a cow. Then the cow needed some food, and he thought, this is getting too much, so he got a wife. First the rat was disturbing, then the cat, meow, meow. And then the cat was disturbing him from reading Bhagavad Gita. So then he got a cow. So then the cat wasn't disturbing him, but then he had to look after the cow. Then he got a wife, and then the wife said, I don't want to live in a cave. So then he moved to the city and had a big opulent business and big palace. And then one day his guru came to him and said, I thought I told you to read Bhagavad Gita. Oh yeah. Actually this whole palace, this whole arrangement is just so that I can read Bhagavad Gita. But unfortunately, I don't have time to read Bhagavad Gita, but it's all meant for that. So it's all with good intention. Beware of good intentions. Yeah, there's that Narottam Das says, Hoya Mayar Das Kori Nana Obhilash. When we give up the position of Krishna's servant, then we have many desires. Many desires come. Bahushaka, many branched desires. We have all kinds of desires. Because that nature of envy, we don't like anyone to be better than us in any way. So we might be superior to someone in one way, but they're superior to us in another way. No one can cook better chapatis than me. Or idlis, yeah, might be more appropriate. So you may become envious. Someone can cook better chapatis than me. Srila Prabhupada told the story. Srila Prabhupada was much connected with medicine, the medical line in his Grihastha life. In most of his Grihastha life, he was, actually all of it, he was from the beginning, he was involved in the pharmaceutical business, which is new in India at that time. So he narrated how in one household, the maidservant was sick, and the woman who was the head of the house, she was also sick. So the doctor came and took both their temperature, and for the maidservant, or very high temperature, and he has to have this treatment, that treatment, another treatment, and the matron of the house, she's only a little bit sick. And say, well, you know, how, she can't have higher temperature than me. Why are you giving her so much medicine and me only a little medicine? They should give me more medicine and her less medicine. I'm more important than her. So, it's madness. There's some entertainment here for all the ladies. You can have a competition among yourselves. Who's the most sick? I'm the biggest fool. No, I'm a bigger fool than you are. So you become mad. And material conscious means Pishachi Paile Jaina Mati Channa Hai. Maya Grasta Jibe Hoi She Bhavudoi. Wow. It's just like becoming haunted by a ghost. You become crazy. One who's taken over by Maya become crazy, actually. So the saying is there, first deserve and then desire. How do we know when we deserve what? We don't know. That's ordained by higher authorities. But Srila Prabhupada quoted this when some of his disciples, they formed a separate GBC. Instead of having governing body commission, they had the Gopi Bhava Club. At that time, the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita translation had just been released. And for the first time, devotees were privy to descriptions of the intimate feelings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and of Radha and the gopis for Krishna. So they thought, okay, this is the highest goal of life, let's get into it. And they got together and they would concentrate on reading this, and then with the idea that we want to cultivate a desire for this. When this came to Srila Prabhupada's attention, he wasn't pleased. He said, first deserve and then desire. There has to be some adhika. Adhika na labhya. What is that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying. Adhika na. I can't remember. I should remember, but I don't. No, I don't remember. Do you want to look that up? It's important. It should be in the Acharya base, at least it should be there. Don't have it? One has to attain a certain adhika. Adhika nalabhya siddha deho bhave viparja buddhi janme shaktira bhave. Which means, having not attained the proper Hare Krishna, the proper qualification, if one contemplates one's spiritual form, then due to lack of ability, instead viparja buddhi janma, instead of attaining to that perfect form by such contemplation, an opposite kind of attitude will arise. That is greed, transcendental greed. It means a strong desire. But if one has that transcendental greed, cannot lobe, that lalasa, that's also called, or lolium, and Krishna bhakti rasa Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati yadi kriyatam yadi katopi labhyate tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam koti janma punya na labhyate. Janma koti punya na labhyate. Sukriti. So if one, this to attain the feeling for Krishna, this Krishna bhavana, Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavana mati, kriyatam yadi katopi labhyate, this feeling for Krishna, if you find out it's available, somehow purchase it. And what is the price? Tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam. The only price is strong desire. Janma koti sukritir na labhyate. But that doesn't come about by mundane pious activities. So strong desire. But the symptom of that strong desire is that one will not have strong desire for anything mundane. So there we see, prior to the stage of prema is the stage of bhava. And in bhava, we can see the development even before the stage of bhava bhakti. One can begin to see signs of that. That is, kshantihi, when tolerance of various material conditions, one doesn't become disturbed by various material setbacks. Or, it's both this, one is not disturbed by material conditions, and one is not elated if one gets some opportunity for material enjoyment. So, kshanti avyarta kalatvam, doesn't like to waste time, wants to be 24 hours engaged in the service of Krishna. Kshanti avyarta kalatvam, then what is it? Manya shunyata, what comes before that? Viraktir, mana shunyata. Then one is detached from all material enjoyment, doesn't desire to be honored by others. So like this, there are nine symptoms, which asha bandha samutkanta, one is great faith, that great hope that Krishna will deliver him, and a very strong, samutkanta, that's similar to lolyam, a very strong desire. Namagane Sadari, one who likes to chant this, sing the glories of Krishna, Pritis Tadvasati Sthale, he likes to reside in Krishna's own abode. So these are, when these symptoms are very strong, then we can, we can say that one is attaining adhika, deserving. But a devotee will never think, now I deserve. That's why what is bestowed upon him from above, he takes that as mercy. Where does desire come from the heart or the mind? Well, in pure spiritual existence, there's no difference. Anya hriday man, mar man vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Others, their heart is their mind. In other words, they've placed their whole being in their material consciousness. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that my mind is Vrindavan. So in spiritual existence, the mind, intelligence, ego, they all work together in service of Krishna. So when we say the heart, not meaning the physical heart, that sometimes that word is used, otherwise the word is used chitta, consciousness, state of consciousness. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.